your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
We had the brief commercial break after the prior segment. Jimmy is going to go back and clean that one up simply by bringing up two things that we wanted to talk about in that segment. And then we're going to get on with it.
Yeah, I think it's really important to understand that the amount of revenues, and we talked about this last week, that the government is taking in is far below the budget deficit requirements. And now we're approaching a $2 trillion deficit for this fiscal year. It's at $1.6 trillion right now, and by the time we finish it out, it could be close to $2 trillion. And that's on top of already a $31 to $32 trillion debt. So
Terrifying. These
problems are really difficult to overcome.
They are hugely difficult to overcome, Jimmy. Terrifying to me every time I hear those numbers talked about on the daily news. Something else that I find terrifying in one sense is the development of the atomic bomb. Saw the movie last night, which, by the way, I highly recommend to everybody to see. I went and saw it because I know you and the family went and saw it, and you told me it was a do-not-miss movie. Well, I went and saw it last night, and it truly was a do-not-miss movie. You want to talk about it a little bit, Jimmy?
Yeah, we're talking about Oppenheimer, and I think, you know, it's Christopher Nolan. He's a phenomenal director. He spent a lot of time on this. It's a long movie, but it is incredibly engrossing. It does a phenomenal job of going through the history of the development of a nuclear weapon and the justification for the development of a nuclear weapon, driven by fears of people like Albert Einstein and others that knew that the Nazis were trying to develop the weapon. And they put together with J. Robert Oppenheimer and a general or a colonel at the time named Leslie Groves, a plan to go ahead and create and build the weapon. The movie walks through the whole process and actually gets into some of the personal issues with Oppenheimer, because, you know, he was associated with communists and it was a tremendously challenging time in the world, and then talks through the implications of the development of the weapon and gives actually a fairly accurate picture of the timeline and the kind of the events surrounding it based on a very accurate, from what we understand, a historical perspective.
Well, what I thought was interesting was Oppenheimer's involvement with the Communist Party, which was minimal, but I'll tell you, the U.S. really, really went after that because not only was J. Robert a member of the party, but his wife was also a member of the party. But I think she summed it up in a testimony very effectively when she said, I was looking at not necessarily at what was going on in Russia at the time, but in the pure sense I was looking at the party, what it advocated and what it didn't advocate. That's something I think that was very, very interesting point, Jim.
Well, people forget, you know, we look back now through very different eyes, you know, historically than people at the time. And remember Marxism and Leninism, and of course the control that was created after the fall of the Russian Empire and the creation of the Soviet Union. There was a lot of excitement in that period of time for the labor movement.
Yeah,
to the point where
right.
Yeah, to the point where people like FDR created programs like Social Security, and, you know, the state became more responsible for individuals because of kind of the pressures from this leftist ideology. And no one understood early on in the early 30s what was actually happening inside the Soviet Union to control people's thoughts, views, and the basically horrific events of like the Holodomor in Ukraine, the starvation of people, the internment camps, the gulags, the mass culling of opposition, mass murders on unbelievable scales. And of course, many people didn't understand it because it's a different world back then. You didn't have the same amount of information flow. And so this ideological view that everybody was be equal sounded good. But what you saw with fascism, and remember, nationalism, national socialism was not necessarily a right-wing idea. That was kind of a socialism idea that was merged together with corporate identity, something that we're seeing on a global scale right now. And I think this movie captures that and helps educate people on a lot of different issues, but certainly on the personal issues with Oppenheimer and what the long-term ramifications were for the development of the bomb, or the concerns that were there. And of course, we haven't had another event since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
No.
Thank God. And maybe because of the fear of the potential damage that would be done. But what happened afterwards was a tremendous race for who would have the most power. And ultimately that cost the Soviet Union its existence.
Well, I don't mean to let the cat out of the bag, but what I thought was very interesting is toward the end of the show, Oppenheimer was chatting with his friend Einstein, and he was saying, you know, you and I were talking years and years ago about what kind of effect a weapon like this would have on society, because we didn't know at the time, but they were having this conversation at the end of World War II, and he said, now we know. And the impression that I walked away from that statement was, the atomic bomb really, I mean, yeah, a lot of people got killed. And, you know, God bless them, but I have to tell you, we haven't had a major, what I would call a major war of the magnitude of the First or Second World War since the atomic bomb was developed. And I have to say thank God for that.
Yeah, you do. And, of course, you know, a lot of people question the use on Japan, but the reality was after the absolute devastation and willingness of the Japanese people to sacrifice to fight for Okinawa, the expectation was 1 million casualties on the mainland Japan. Yeah. And they would not have given up without the emperor and the senior military leadership basically saying enough is enough. And they made the decision to drop the bomb. Truman made the decision. He did it. And what we saw was a race for that power afterwards. That actually created the conditions that people were so afraid to use it as they built up these massive arsenals. The policymakers were hesitant to do it. What we've seen now is a dispersion, though, with a lot more countries having nuclear weapons. And, of course, the question always is, how responsible will they be and how desperate, and will they be able to control them and maintain them?
Yeah, I think this motion picture should go down as the best picture of 2023. And the reason I say that is it was very definitely not fiction. It definitely had much more than, you know, gut-wrenching action and sex in the movie. It really made you stop and think about the importance of the magnitude of the importance, I guess I should say, of the development of the atomic bomb. I don't think so. You guys stick around. We're going to be right back after the top of the hour news.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.